examples are, turns out that a coal-fired plant right now has emissions up the stack, which are CO2, nitrogen, and sulfur oxides. And of course, the nitrogen and sulfur oxides lead to acid rain and damage to the environment. It turns out if you take that same flue gas and irradiate it with an accelerator and add ammonia, you then make ammonium sulfate, ammonium nitrate, which are fertilizers that can be separated off as a white powder, and you have a commercial fertilizer. And now you have a stream that's almost pure CO2 without causing the acid rain. And this pure CO2 stream is exactly what you want if you want to sequester carbon dioxide by, say, putting it deep underground, or by using, or for using it, say, for oil extraction or something like that. So that's one example. Another example is that there are a number of places where accelerators can be used to treat pollution, say, coming from a municipal waste plant. Right now, most municipal waste plants treat waste with anaerobic digestion. They end up dumping the fluid that comes out of the plant is rich in nitrogen, phosphorus. It's dumped into our streams and rivers, and we end up with algae blooms and big hypoxic zones at the mouth of the Pacific or mouth of the Mississippi River in the Gulf, where marine life can't exist. So at the same time, we're running out of phosphorus. And well, that's a big problem, that the reserves of phosphorus are going down. So instead, imagine that you could take this material, irradiate it with an accelerator, and instead of burying the sludge in municipal landfills and sending the nitrogen and phosphorus down the streams and rivers, instead you could apply it to farm fields, use it as fertilizer without the concerns that there are deadly pathogens that, you know, came from its source, or other things like pharmaceuticals. So it can be used to certainly transform that into that material into something that's a pain to get rid of, instead of you turn it into something that provides fertilizer for farmers. So that's another example.
We're speaking with Robert Kephart, director of the Illinois Accelerator Research Center at the Energy Department's Fermi Lab. Also a development there is that you have a brand new research center in Batavia, Illinois. Tell us what's in that facility, how that works.
Okay, so this, what we're talking about here, is something called the Illinois Accelerator Research Center. And this is a, first and foremost, a partnership between the Department of Energy and the state of Illinois. Its purpose is then to encourage and enable Fermilab to work more closely with industry and universities on accelerator technology development and education, and in particular to develop new accelerator technology-based products and high-tech industries in the U.S. and in Illinois. Of course, the Department of Energy's motivation is for industrial competitiveness throughout the country, and of course in Illinois, it's their goal is to have high-tech industry located here in Illinois, high-tech jobs, and of course promote the local economy. Another activity in the center will be to promote education in accelerator science and technology. With all of these accelerators being built, it's fairly obvious that we're not training nearly enough people in this technology in this country. You have only to look around at the nameplates on the office doors in our accelerator division, and you'll see that most of them were trained outside this country. So this is an activity then that is well aligned with national priorities. So there was, for example, a presidential memoranda on accelerating tech transfer from the federal research laboratories to business. This came out in October of 2011, where basically President Obama directed agencies with federal laboratories to establish performance goals to increase the number and pace of technology transfer and commercialization activities. This includes private firms, research organizations, and not-for-profits. And, of course, I already mentioned the DOE's Accelerator Stewardship Mission. So, again, the DOE Office of High Energy Physics has taken on the mantle of stewardship for accelerator science, and this center then provides really a focus for our ability to do that. And then last but not least, the 2012 Senate Energy and Water Appropriations Bill directed then the Department of Energy to submit a 10-year strategic plan by this June for how this is all going to happen. And so that is absolutely fortuitous for IARC, which, as you can tell, has been in the works for a long time, because that's exactly what it was intended to do.
Let's talk a bit about that commercialization process for a moment. Just briefly, what has stopped industry from really tapping into your technology thus far?
Well, that's a good question. So in the end, new ideas in accelerator technology seem to die for one of three reasons. Either there's inadequate resources, either financial or personnel, in industry, universities, or labs to demonstrate the feasibility of an idea. That is, somebody has a clever idea, but you need money to actually make the device and demonstrate that it works. Or the other possibility is during the transition from small-scale technology demonstrations to a commercial product. So we mentioned, for example, an accelerator in a municipal waste plant, and you can certainly imagine there's not a lot of accelerator experts there. So you better have a box that has a on-off button and a green light that says it's working okay, and there's a significant amount of effort to take something that works in the laboratory environment with a bunch of experts around it and turn it into something that's bulletproof, that just operates when you want it to operate. So then the third barrier is, I think sometimes there's a lack of acceptance of the new technology by potential customers, and that could be either due to ignorance or prejudice, and that is only cured by large-scale demonstrations.
Let's talk about how what you're doing now addresses those three barriers you mentioned: the money, the expertise, and acceptance.
We are talking with the Department of Energy about providing core funding. We're talking about the DCEO in Illinois about providing matching funding. And there's a variety of different programs already in the federal government. Potentially for some of these applications like treating wastewater, there may be even EPA or Illinois EPA funds that one could use to address these issues. And again, the trick will be to put together a program that works both for the laboratories and for industry, so that we can try to fill the kinds of gaps that we just talked about.